Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. I'm so happy to have you back joining me another day in another week where we walk through God's Word together. And the Holy Spirit, as we walk through God's Word today, tomorrow, the next day, is going to open up our eyes, open up our hearts, and reveal to us the person of Jesus. And just once again, I'm so happy to have you on this journey with me. Week after week, we come together and we're opening up God's Word, and God is transforming us. He's transforming us in the power of his word as we encounter him. And I'm coming today, and the word we're going to read, I love this word. Yesterday I was in adoration and I was going through this chapter 3 of Philippians, which we're going to take up today. Philippians is an amazing short little book by Paul. So we were in Peter last week. We're back with our buddy Paul today. And this word that we're going to read was rocking me to my core. There's so much practical things that we're going to dig out of this, but I felt enriched. I felt fed. And so today, as we begin our week together, friends, I just feel on fire with the Holy Spirit of what God wants to say to you, how God wants to feed you, and how the Holy Spirit wants to open up your heart and your mind to the person of Jesus through this word. Amen? Amen. All right. So we're going to start off like we normally do with our Psalms. Again, this summer we've been in the Psalms, and each week I kind of skip ahead because I can't remember exactly where we left off. And so we're going to do that again, and we're going to start with Psalm chapter 70. So if you're joining us for the first time, what we've been doing here this summer is we've just been beginning our prayer time, our time together with a Psalm from King David. And what we're finding is so often as we read these Psalms, it's expressing what's deeply in our heart. It's expressing things that we want to say, and it's a way to kind of grasp onto a mantra in the day that we can say to the Lord, a refrain that we can say out to the Lord. So if you'll join me in prayer, we're going to dive into the Psalms, and then we'll dive into our passage from Philippians. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hasten, O God, to save me. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May those who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, turn back because of their shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. But as for me, I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. Lord, do not delay. Lord, we come to you, and we are poor, we are needy, we are weak. We need you in each and every moment to save us. We need you to be with us. We need you to reach out your hand to us. For you are our help and our deliverer. Lord, do not delay, and let all who seek you be glad in you. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, as we begin today, we're going to go in Philippians chapter 3. We're going to kind of start in the middle of the chapter. But as we go into this word, before we open it, before we read it, I want to pray for each and every one of us for more of the Holy Spirit. And this is not a scary thing. This is not a thing that's going to be like, oh, it's going to change how you like to pray. It's going to change. This is not a preference thing. This is not a comfortability thing. This is not a charismatic versus traditional thing. The reality is that the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. And so we want to pray each and every day, each and every hour for a renewal, a refreshment of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our life, particularly when we're taking up God's word. And so I just want to pray for that very briefly. I want to invite you to join me, and then we're going to take up Philippians chapter 3. And I think the Holy Spirit, I know the Holy Spirit is going to help reveal Jesus to us in a deeper way. So in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray for each and every person listening right now. I pray that you would open up our hearts, and we ask for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit, that right now you would stir up the graces of our baptism and our confirmation. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see Jesus. Reveal Jesus to us. Give us more. Make us hungry. We want you. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, make us want you more. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Just a really simple prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Pray it every time you open up your word. So we're going to start Philippians chapter 3. Philippians is a very short book. There's only four chapters, and each chapter is packed. It's packed with stuff from Paul. Paul's writing to the Philippians, and he's talking about everything from don't grumble and complain to put others' interests before the interests of your own, before your own interests, all the way to the beautiful Philippians 2, the hymn of Christ Jesus, where it talks about, although Jesus was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but he humbled himself, taking the form of a slave, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. And then he moves into chapter 3. And he says, this is now what you should do. He says, this is how I've lived my life. Jesus, because he was obedient to death, was glorified at the right hand of the Father. This is Philippians chapter 2. He's glorified at the right hand of the Father, and every knee shall bow before him. That's where Philippians 2 leaves off. So I want to read the first little chunk of Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that if possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. We're going to take up some more of this passage, but I want to start here, this paragraph 7 through 10. This is such an unbelievable passage. Paul finishes off in Philippians chapter 2, and he says, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. God has exalted him and bestowed on him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend. And then at the beginning of Philippians chapter 3, he says, I of all people in the world, I was the perfect Jew. I was circumcised. I knew the law backwards and forwards. I had reason to boast in my humanity. I had reason to boast in my pride, but I boast only in Christ Jesus. And so Paul, he's saying, he was a successful rabbi. He had success in the world. He had power. He had respect. And then he says this, whatever gain I had in the world, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Friends, this is the heart of it. This is where Jesus is trying to take us. This is where the Holy Spirit takes us when we receive more of the Holy Spirit, as we get to a place where faith, where life with Jesus isn't just a religion. It's not just a way of life as we do, but something has come upon Paul. Something has come so deep in his heart. Something has come and knocked him over to the ground. And when he got up, he was so transformed that he says, every single thing in the world is worth losing because of this man. Every single thing I count as loss. And Paul actually counted it as loss. He lost his reputation. He lost his power. He lost his influence. He lost his money. He lost his security. He was in prison. He was bit by snakes. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was thrown in jail. No one respected him in the highest of the courts. He lost everything. And he says, I count everything as a loss because what is really worth it? Not just it's a little bit more worth it, not just like Jesus is a little bit more worth it than the world. This is sometimes what the world sees in us is like, oh, it's such a sacrifice to know Jesus. I have to give up worldly things and I have to give up drinking and I have to give up sex before marriage and I have to give up all this fun stuff, all that kind of stuff. And we have to give it up for God. He says, no, knowing Jesus, knowing, and not just knowing about him, that word knowing is the Greek word for intimacy. And it's the Hebrew word for knowing, as you would know your spouse. Knowing Jesus is not just a little bit better than the world. It's not just a little more worth it. The surpassing worth, that thing. Someone has come into my life. And friends, this is my experience when I was touched by the Holy Spirit. I knew it was good and right to follow God. I believed I had some semblance of faith. I wanted to order my life towards God. And then the Holy Spirit, I was prayed with for more of the Holy Spirit in my life. And the Spirit of God touched my life and began to bring alive to me the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And all of a sudden, this knowledge that I had of the person of Jesus became alive. And it was this thing of the glory of God began to touch my heart. And once I tasted it, nothing else was good enough. The surpassing worth of knowing him. And friends, if you don't have this, it's not a condemnation, but it's a place where Jesus wants to bring you. Because to see him, to really see him, and to know him, and to walk with him, and to see his beauty and his majesty, and to taste friendship with him, is the greatest gift. It's the greatest reward. It's worth giving up everything for. It's surpassing worth. It's far above and beyond. There's a song that I love called Fall Like Rain. It's a song that goes, fall like rain, Holy Spirit, fall like rain, let your glory fall down. And then there's this bridge that goes, may I never lose the wonder of your presence. May I always stand in awe of who you are. And then this is that part that I love. For the beauty and the gift of your friendship is unlike anything I've ever known. That there's this reality that the worth of knowing Jesus, the great reward of knowing Jesus, becomes worth it all. And when the Spirit of God touches us, like Paul had everything. He had everything. He said, everything I count as loss because of the reality of knowing Jesus Christ. For the beauty and the gift of the friendship of Jesus, it's worth walking through fire for. It's worth enduring the worst sufferings. It's worth giving up everything for, because when we see him, when we know him, even here on earth, when we won't totally know him as we will know him, when we get a taste of his glory, we say, give me more of that. I will give up anything. It's like selling the field, selling everything you have for that pearl of great price. And friends, whether you've experienced that before or whether you want to experience that for the first time, the Spirit of God wants to touch you today so that you can experience that Jesus is just a little more worth it. Now that, oh, we have to do this to get to heaven, so we have to give it up and it's really, really hard. No, the surpassing worth. And right now, as we close, friends, in your life today, again, whether we say this every time, whether you're in your car, whether you're folding laundry, whether you're with your kids, whether you're at your workplace with your AirPods in, right now, the Spirit of God wants to come in your heart and wants to touch you. The Spirit of God wants to touch you and bring you a deeper knowledge of the person of Jesus, wants you to taste his glory. And in that, you'll see that Jesus is of surpassing worth, that he's better than all the rest. We'll see you tomorrow. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.